Hello there, dear listener. This is Brother Timothy Gruber coming to you again here on Six Eyes Radio Station with another edition of the Word of the King. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verses 1 through 8 in the Word of the King. The King James Authorized Version of 1611 declares, "Who is as the wise man and who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment, and that in regard of the oath of God. Be not hasty to go out of his sight, stand not in the evil thing, for he doeth whatsoever pleaseth him. Where the word of a king is, there is power, and who may say unto him, What doest thou? Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. Because to every purpose there is time and judgment, therefore the misery of man is great upon him. For he knoweth not that which shall be, for who can tell him when it shall be? There is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it." Ecclesiastes 3, verse 4, "Where the word of a king is, there is power. Who may say unto him, What doest thou. If you would like to keep your Bible a while, dear listener, or stick a bookmark, whatever, in your Bible, to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to be looking at, in this edition of the Word of the King, what I'm entitling the Holy Addition, the Heavenly Adding. The Holy Addition, the Heavenly Adding. Again, we're going to look at 2 Peter chapter 1, in this edition of the Word of the King, with the Holy Addition and the Heavenly Adding. And I also want to encourage you, dear listener, to do your own personal study between now and next week, next editions of the Word of the King, next Thursday, and potentially also the following Thursday, because there's a likelihood that this may actually end up being a two-part series, as the Lord would have me do this. But the Lord was really teaching me and really showing me some more from the Scriptures in light of my personal devotions in the book of Zechariah, specifically chapter 11, earlier today. So if you would make a note, Zechariah chapter 11, and I would pose a question to you here shortly from that very text, Lord willing, after Kenny gets done basically going through the details of how you can make a donation to the work that God is doing here at the Word of the King, here on Six Eyes Radio, and also at Holiness Bibles for the Blind, and so the Seed Ministries there in connection with Holiness Bibles for the Blind, with the PayPal accounts. And I would also remind you, dear listener, to, again, go check our website out, www.holiness, H-O-L-Y, as in year, N-E-S-S, BiblesForTheBlind.org. That's www.holiness, H-O-L-Y, as in year, N-E-S-S, BiblesForTheBlind.org. And also, I would encourage you to also check out Hodges, The Common Sense Show. That's Dave Hodges, The Common Sense Show. Common Sense, S-E-N-S-E, show.com. Dave Hodges, H-O-D-G-E-S, The Common Sense Show in your search engine. They're in Yahoo and any of the other search engines. You should be able to pull that up. And then there's also Doug Thornton, and American Vindicta. That's Doug Thornton, T-H-O-R-N, as in Nathan, T-O-N, as in Nathan, Doug Thornton. American Vindicta, V-I-N-D-I-C as in cat, T as in Tom, A. American Vindicta, Doug Thornton, if you just put that in your search engine. Again, Yahoo, any of those major search engines there on your internet, and that should pull up his site at theamericanvindictashow.com. And then also, it should also pull up his audios, Doug's audios, at gsradio.net. And there is also the blog ministry of Brother John McTernan, www.defendproclaimthefaith.org. That's www.defendproclaimthefaith.org. And there's also the website of Dr. Scott Johnson. I'll be at Brother Scott Johnson at www.contendingfortruth.com. That's www.contendingfortruth.com. And then there's also the website of Mike Adams at www.naturalnews.com. That's www.naturalnews.com. And again, I do want to thank you for your prayers as the gospel, the word of God, continues to go forth. The preaching of the gospel continues to go forth here in the land of Israel. And the Chick Tracts from Chick Publications, www.chick.com, continue to go forth as well. Thank you for your prayers as you pray for souls, as you pray for me and the rest of the body of Christ here in the land of Israel. And I thank you as you also continue to pray concerning my need for help meet for my bride. And also to also just continue to be in prayer also for God to continue pouring out his Spirit, not just here in the land of Israel, but throughout the world in these latter days as we continue to look for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have any questions or comments concerning what you hear in this edition of the Word of the King, you can forward those to the Word of the King. That's the Word of the King. A as in Adam, B as in Victor, 1611 at hotmail.com. That's the Word of the King, AV1611 at hotmail.com. And finally, if you would like to make a donation and to assist with the work that God is doing through me via a check or a money order. You just need to write that check or money order out to my father after the flesh, Joel Gruver. That's J-O-E-L, Joel, G-R-U, V as in Victor, E-R. And then you may send that check or money order to the following address, 2976 Honey, H-O-N-E-Y, Valley, V-A-L-L-E-Y, Road, Dallastown, D-A-L-L-A-S-T-O-W-N, Pennsylvania, 17313. Again, that's 2976 Honey, Valley Road, Dallastown. That's one more, Dallastown, D-A-L-L-A-S-T-O-W-N, Pennsylvania, 17313. And then as you write that out to my father, Joel Gruver, he will cash that and see to it that it gets put into my account. And now, on that note, before I open us up in a word of prayer, I would just pass it over to Kenny now so Kenny can now tell you the rest of the details in terms of how you can make donations to assist with the work here at the Word of the King and Holiness Bibles for the Blind, so the Seed Ministries and Six Eyes Radio. Thank you very much, Kenny, if you could take over from here.
Yes. Okay. First off, if you wish to donate to Brother Tim there, so the Seed Ministries, the Word of the King, using your credit card and or PayPal account, it's very easily done. You just, when you're on the ministry website, holinessbiblesfortheblind.org, that's H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, B-I-B-L-E-S, for F-O-R, theblind.org, you click the link that says Sow the Seed Ministries. That's on every single page of the Holiness Bibles for the Blind website. You just click Sow the Seed Ministries. Once you've done that, you'll be on the main page for his work there. Just go straight down. You'll, of course, find links for the Word of the King and other links there, but mainly the Sow the Seed Ministry page. You go down that page, and you will find a Love Offerings link. Click it, and you'll be on his secure PayPal page where you can use your credit card and or PayPal account to make a secure donation directly to Brother Timothy Gruver, there the work of the Sow the Seed Ministries, the Word of the King, and he will be able to get that funds immediately so he could continue his work. Now, using the Holiness Bibles for the Blind website is also a great way to continue with any other donation, like for Holiness Bibles for the Blind. You could go straight on the main page, holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. Once you've clicked that in your browser and clicked enter, you're right there on the main page. Go straight down to the bottom, and you'll see Love Offerings. Right there after you see Watch Us in Action is a video of our slide presentation of our ministry, but right under that is a Love Offerings link. Just click that, and you'll be on the Holiness Bibles for the Blind secure PayPal page where you can make a secure donation using credit card and or PayPal account to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, and you'll be able to make that secure donation right there. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, make that out to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. Of course, payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. Send to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, A-S-H-T-A-B-U-L-A, Ohio 44005. Make any check or money order out to and payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, send to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. And God will richly bless you for your love gift. Now, right there on the home page there as well, where you can make your donation for Holiness Bibles for the Blind, you will also find the information for donating to the Six Eyes Radio Network, where they have a PayPal page as well, where you can make your secure donation to Six Eyes Radio Network using credit card and or PayPal account. But you can also use your email, the email address, if you go directly to PayPal, And the email address you enter at PayPal is 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. If you are a Cash App user, they have a Cash App as well, which is $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4. Again, $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4. And, of course, in both cases, they are secure ways of getting a donation to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And the Six Eyes Radio Network thanks you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. If you wish to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network, just contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, 6i6@gmail.com. In your subject line, just put donation information requested, and in the body of your email, indicate that you're wishing to send a check or money order and need the pay to and snail mail information as to where to send that check or money order and all the details associated with it. Amen. All right. And now we'll pass the ball back to Brother Tim.
And actually, Kenny, if you would open up in prayer, and I'm going to close here as we have our introductory prayer. If you would pray first, and then I'll pray.
All right. Surely, Tim. Lord Jesus, we ask you right now that you take the wheel of this here program. We ask you to have your perfect will, your perfect way, Lord Jesus. Give Tim, Lord Jesus, clarity of thought, clarity of mind, clarity of speech, Lord Jesus, as he brings the message. Lord Jesus, even the clips that are offered, Lord Jesus, let them be as well something that the people can listen to and, of course, lead them, Lord Jesus. Something that would be said or done even in the clips, Lord Jesus, that would show them their need for you, Lord Jesus, in these last days, Lord Jesus. We ask right now that just that soul who is nearest hell would help and know that they need you, that they'd reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, Lord Jesus, knowing that your word said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So, Lord, let this day be their day. And, Lord, let them get in contact with us so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy. And then, Lord Jesus, we'd be giving you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. For it is surely due you and you alone. Now, Lord, once again, we turn the wheel of this here program into your hands and your keeping. For it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. And, Father God, amen. Everything my brother just prayed, Lord God, and I beseech you, dear Lord God, even now, dear God, for the demonstration and the power of your Spirit, dear God, to work through me, dear God, through the power of your word. For it is not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit, dear God, that anything gets accomplished for your honor, for your glory, to the increasing, to the enhancing of your kingdom, for your honor, for your glory. We praise you. We give you thanks, dear God, for how you'll be faithful to work in hearts. And for those lost souls listening, how you'll be faithful to work, Lord, and make their bodies all the more the temple of you, the living God. Thank you, dear God, that you are willing to take up residency in me, dear Lord God, making my body the temple of you, the living God. For it's in Jesus' name, pray all these things and give thanks. Amen. Okay, dear listener, now before we get into our first clip, you know, if you would make note, you can turn there if you like, but just make sure you have your place marked there for 2 Peter for too long. But right now I want to look and I want to read through Zechariah chapter 11, and I want to encourage you to take notes here and do your own study between now, because like I said earlier, the Lord was really teaching me and showing me some real meat here from this chapter, and I want you to consider some things that perhaps you've not considered yet, or you've considered, but it's just never really opened up to you yet. But by the grace of God, it is real soon going to open up to you. But the thing is, if you can ultimately get it directly from the Lord first yourself, that's always the best thing. Because when you get things from the Lord directly himself, from the Scriptures by way of the Spirit of God teaching you, those things have a way of sticking with you. When you just get it from man, doesn't always stick with you. But here in Zechariah chapter 11, one, I'm going to read down through the entire chapter, then I'll tell you what to make note of and really do a study on between now and next Thursday. Open thy doors, O Lebanon, that the fire may devour thy cedars. Howl, fir tree, for the cedar is fallen, because the mighty are spoiled. Howl, O ye oaks of Bashan, for the forest of the vintage is come down. There is a voice of the howling of the shepherds, for their glory is spoiled. A voice of the roaring of young lions, for the pride of Jordan is spoiled. Thus saith the Lord my God, feed the flock of the slaughter, whose possessors slay them, and hold themselves not guilty. And they that sell them say, blessed be the Lord, for I am rich. And their own shepherds pity them not. For I will no more pity the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. But lo, I will deliver the men, every one, into his neighbor's hand, and into the hand of his king. And they shall smite the land, and out of their hand I will not deliver them. And I will feed the flock of slaughter, even you, O poor of the flock. And I look unto, and I took unto me two staves, the one I called beauty, and the other I called bands, and I fed the flock. Verse 7, and I will feed the flock of slaughter, even you, O poor of the flock. And I took unto me two staves, the one I called beauty, and the other I called bands, and I fed the flock. Zechariah 11, verse 8, continuing down through the end of the chapter. Three shepherds also I cut off in 1 month, and my soul loathed them, and their soul also abhorred me. Then said I, I will not feed you. That dieth, let it die, and that is to be cut off, let it be cut off, and let the rest eat every one the flesh of another. And I took my staff, even beauty, and cut it asunder, that I might break my covenant which I had made with all the people. Poor the flock that waited upon me knew that it was the word of the Lord. And I said unto them, if ye think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter as a goodly price that I was prized out of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast it to the potter in the house of the Lord. Then I cut asunder mine other staff, even bands, that I might break the brotherhood between Judah and Israel. And the Lord said unto me, take unto thee yet the instruments of a foolish shepherd. For lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land which shall not visit those that be cut off, neither shall seek the young one, nor heal that that is broken, nor feed that that standeth still. But he shall eat the flesh of the fat, and tear their claws in pieces. Woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. The sword should be upon his arm, upon his right eye. His arm should be clean dried up, and his right hand should be utterly darkened. Now, I want to read again verse 7 down through verse 10. And I will, here in Zechariah 11 we're looking at now, Zechariah 11, verses 7 through 10, I'm reading now again. God says, and I will feed the flock of slaughter, even you, O poor the flock, and I took unto me two staves, the one I called beauty, and the other I called bands, and I fed the flock. Now, question. This is what one question I would like you to mark. Why does God here in this context of Zechariah chapter 11, verses 7 through 10, continuing on down through the rest of the chapter, why does he call the one stave beauty? Notice beauty, capital B. And why does he call the other staff, howbeit, the one staff he calls beauty, capital B, and the other one he calls bands, capital B? Again, God has two staves. Why does he call the one beauty, capital B, and why does he call the other staff bands, capital B? And the second question, let me read down through these verses again, and then I'll pose the second question. Three shepherds also I cut off in 1 month, and my soul loathed them, and their soul also abhorred me. Then said I will not feed you. That that dieth, let it die, and that that is to be cut off, let it be cut off, and let the rest eat every one the flesh of another. Verse 10, and I took my staff, even beauty, capital B, and cut it asunder, that I might break my covenant which I had made with all the people. Second question, how is each stave, the singular way of putting it is staff, how is it that each staff, beauty and band, Again, both capital B. How are they a prophetic picture of the Lord Jesus Christ as Messiah of Israel, as the good shepherd? And again, why does he call the one staff beauty, capital B, and the other staff bands, capital B? Now, beauty, I did not have such a hard time figuring it out, but bands, until today, I did not really completely understand why he calls the second staff bands. Oh, but by his grace, as surely as I asked him to give me understanding, he gave me understanding. And again, comparing spiritual with spiritual, just like he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, comparing spiritual with spiritual is how the Spirit of God teaches. And of course, comparing spiritual with spiritual, he also confirmed and gave a greater understanding as to why he calls the one staff beauty, capital B, as well. But another question I want to pose here, in light of verse 10, it's written, Zechariah 11:10, and I took my staff, even beauty, and cut it asunder, that I might break my covenant which I had made with all the people. Now, we know in Scripture that God, the God of the Bible, the God of Zechariah, the Holy One of Israel, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of David, he is not a covenant breaker. So what is he talking about here when he says, and I took my staff, even beauty, and cut it asunder, that I might break my covenant which I had made with all the people. What is he talking about there? Because he's not a covenant-breaking God. And I think, one other question, verse 14 of Zechariah 11. Fourth and final question that I'm going to pose in light of this chapter in preparation for next Thursday, Lord willing. How is it that when God has his other staff cut asunder, even bands, capital B, in verse 14 of Zechariah 11, how is it that that leads to the breaking of the brotherhood between Judah and Israel? Again, if I did not see that before, I officially see it now by the grace of God, even as I asked God to give me understanding in my devotions this morning as I was chapter of Zechariah in my Old Testament reading, my reading from the Hebrew Scriptures, as they have been preserved for us in the King's English. So, you got those four questions to meditate and consider in light of Zechariah 11 and the rest of Scripture, comparing spiritual with spiritual. And remember, nobody knows how to rightly divide the word of truth better than the author of the book himself, and his Spirit. So cry out to him for understanding and see what you can get from him between now and next Thursday. And by the grace of God, have your pen, pencil, trust you have it ready to go tonight. And every night we have an edition of the Word of the King. Every day we have an edition of the Word of the King. I pray that you would have your pen and pencil handy for next Thursday as well. Now, on that note, Kenny, if you would go ahead now and please play our first clip.
They can't lose. They will do anything to win. So how do they do that? They're not going to do COVID again. I know everyone on the right is afraid they're going to do COVID and mask mandate. They're not going to do that. They can't do that. If they've already been exposed, that won't work. There's going to be – no. What are they going to do? They're going to go to war with Russia. That's what they're going to do. They're going to go to war with Russia. That's what they're going to do. There will be a hot war between the United States and Russia in the next year. And
really?
Yes, of course. They want it anyway. I don't think we'll win it, but that's a separate analysis. But I think it's a political matter. They need to declare – war footing in order to assume war powers in order to win. I believe that. We're already at war with Russia, of course. We're funding their enemies. So we're fighting Russia, but I mean an open battle with Russia where we say we're at war with Russia. I think that could easily happen. I think we could Tonkin Gulf our way into it where all of a sudden missiles land in Poland. The Russians did it. Our NATO allies been attacked. We're going to war. I could see that happening very easily. So if you're worried about that, you need to put as much pressure as you possibly can on the Republican-held Senate to force a peace, which can be done. The United States could force a peace in Ukraine tonight. We're funding one side. There is no Ukrainian army outside of NATO. If NATO withdrew its support for Ukraine, Ukraine would crumble in a day. So we are the only power in the world that can bring both sides to the table to force a peace. Otherwise, I would bet my house on it. we are going to war with Russia. I mean, these are not rational people. Would they go to war with Russia? Of course they would. Again, they want to anyway. And I don't know why Republicans don't get this at all, but they don't seem to get it. And meanwhile, Republican leaders, and Mitch McConnell's seen out too, so I don't even blame him, but all the stupid Republican senators and McCarthy in the House, I mean, it's pathetic. These people are all on board with the war against Russia. Why? The view of Russia is very, and I can say this as someone who was, you know, against the Soviets when it mattered, when they existed. But I'm maybe the only person in the United States who doesn't really have very strong feelings about Russia. I'm not that interested in Russia. I don't see it as our enemy or ally. So I look at this and I see true hysteria. Like, they've convinced themselves that our global enemy is Russia. And I really think they mean that. And I certainly the Republicans mean it. You know, the Nikki Haley, Mike Pence, you know, the low IQ wing of the Republican Party, which is most of the Republican Party. And, like, someone needs to slap them awake. You're leading this country to its destruction. We've already lost control of the world. The American empire is in free fall right now. And we're going to lose the U.S. dollar. And when that happens, we're going to have real poverty here, like Great Depression-level poverty. And it comes from this war. And I don't understand why no one else can see this. The Biden administration blew up Nord Stream and, you know, created the largest act of industrial sabotage in history, the largest man-made CO2 emission in history, an environmental crime. It's a huge deal this happened. And every national security reporter just looked right in the camera and said, well, we think Russia did it. Well, they knew Russia didn't do it. That's a lie. And they knew it was a lie. The German economy was crushed when the Biden administration blew up Nord Stream. I know nobody cares. But if you think, like, long term about this, they're really kicking the legs out from under this country in a way that is not possible to repair, at least in the short term. And it's true, I happen to know. And I could bore you for hours, again, since I spent my life there and know a lot of people who work there. But the bottom line is there's no oversight at all. They were able to participate in the murder of a U.S. president and then hide that fact for 60 years by keeping those documents classified, which they still are. It's unbelievable. And it's happening in front of all of us, and nobody seems to care. But, you know, as the country declines and the democratic institutions weaken, and you wonder, how did this happen? Well, that's how it happened, right there. They protested him. They called him names. He won anyway. They impeached him twice on ridiculous pretenses. They fabricated a lot about what happened on January 6th in order to impeach him again. It didn't work. He came back. Then they indicted him. It didn't work. He became more popular. Then they indicted him three more times, and every single time his popularity rose. So if you begin with criticism, then you go to protest, then you go to impeachment, now you go to indictment, and none of them work, what's next? I mean, grasp it out, man. We're speeding toward assassination, obviously. I mean, they're putting him on trial in March of next year in the J6 case, which basically consists of trying to send him to prison for the rest of his life for complaining about the last election. That's literally what it is.
I have a very clear memory of the country that I grew up in, and I really liked it. I always liked the United States, and I watched it change, and I watched in those changes a lot of my preconceptions get debunked, and so I changed my opinions along with the changing evidence, which I thought was what you're supposed to do, and I am embarrassed about how wrong I was about a number of different things, but I'm certainly not embarrassed to have changed my mind. What would be embarrassing is if, in the face of a mountain of evidence that you were wrong, you know, you resisted admitting it and changing course. No one would ever believe me, since, you know, I think a conventional view is I'm radical, but I feel and have always felt very moderate. I'm definitely not in favor of destroying things. I really see the world as binary at this point. There are people who create and nurture, and there are those who deface and destroy. It's really, there are only two varieties of people. It's dualism. And I want to be on the side that creates and nurtures, that makes things, that improves things, that leaves things for future generations. That sounds high-minded, but I really believe it. And so I don't like any political movement that begins with, hey, let's wreck everything we have and build something brand new, because I just don't believe in that. It doesn't actually work. I like to read. I'm interested in history. Virtually every revolution, with the exception really of ours, has taken the society backwards, you know, whatever society is, whether it's France or the Soviet Union, Russia, in 1917, China in 1949, et cetera, et cetera. And so, you know, I feel very moderate. And by the way, I'm not much of a populist either. I mean, people are hierarchical. I have four dogs. I know. Animals are hierarchical. It's just built into our nature. You know, we have a small number of leaders. We look to them for direction. That's not weird. That's just how we're born. So you're always going to have a ruling class. The question is it an impressive ruling class? Are they smart people? Do they have self-restraint? Do they have wisdom? Are they thinking past, you know, the next 20 days? Or are they greedy day traders? And we just have wound up for a bunch of different reasons with a really bad ruling class. I'm not against ruling classes at all. Everybody, every society has one. But ours are just unimaginably bad. And I think that we should be asking, how did the system that we built up over generations create these people? You know, when you graduate Yale Law School or go on to McKinsey, and then you wind up with attitudes that hurt the country you're supposed to be leading. Like, how did that happen? No one else seems to be interested. I'm very interested. I mean, I grew up in La Jolla and Georgetown, so it's not like I'm the son of a coal miner. I grew up in a world full of rich, well-educated people. I left that world a few years ago on purpose because I could no longer stand it. But it's not because, you know, I'm like, in my heart, a farmer. No, in my heart, I'm a, you know, I grew up a rich kid and I read books and I just don't like the people currently in charge. I think they're awful. I think they're absolutely awful. And I know them. So I would know. I spent 35 years in Washington, 1985 to 2020. So I'm not kind of guessing about what they're like. I know them personally. And they couldn't be less suited to leadership. And I'm just mad about it. I mean, why wouldn't I be mad about it? Look at the effect. And I would say one other thing. As for populism, my views are very simple. All my views are simple. I don't have complicated views really about anything. But if you're running a country that purports to be a representative democracy, you should serve the majority of people. I mean, in some way, if you wake up one morning and the life expectancy is declining, you've really gone off track. You know, if people aren't replacing the population through native-born birth rates, that's a red flag. That's a siren. That's an emergency. And if you ignore it, then you suck, and you deserve to be replaced. That's kind of how I feel. It's not more complicated than that. Dishonest people always impute dishonest motives to other people. It's like, you know, I've got a lot of faults. I'm not that dishonest, actually. And I just kind of say what I think. Why wouldn't I? I'm 53. There's no advantage in lying. I don't. If I can help it, I mean, I guess if you caught me doing something bad, I would lie about it. But in general, I try not to lie. My motives are super straightforward. And I don't hear much criticism about myself because I'm pretty cut off. But to the extent I hear it, it's like, oh, no, he's doing this for money. No, I've never been a money guy, you know, at all. It, only liars imagine everyone else is lying. And it really does tell you a lot about the people making those criticisms. I mean, my faults and shortcomings and weaknesses are super obvious. I'm on TV 5 hours a week. So if I, you know, have dumb opinions or, you know, if I eat too many cookies and gain 30 pounds, which I tend to do, everyone knows. Like, I'm not hiding anything. You know what I mean? Like, why would I? I don't. And so the idea that, like, I'm some trust fund kid who decided that he could make more money pretending to be a car mechanic or something, it's like, it's insane. I didn't grow up in rural middle America. I never pretended I did. I just think it's really the simple. I actually like rural areas because I hunt and fish and I like the people. I live in one. But really, it's as simple as the people in charge are bad at their jobs. That's demonstrable. We know that from the results. I'm not just attacking people's characters or saying I don't like having dinner with them. I'm saying they're not good at what they do. And by every measure, and they shouldn't be in charge. It's really that simple. I'm not saying that we should, like, turn out the entire federal bureaucracy and give it to people who work at Napa Auto Parts. I don't know. But people who are good at leading the country should be leading the country. We don't have those people. So that's a huge problem. People in charge hate middle America. And you have to ask yourself why. And the answer is that they failed middle America. They failed middle class America, which is no longer the majority of the country. That's, you know, this happened in, I think, 2015 during the Obama presidency when the middle class became less than the majority of America. So it's no longer a middle class country. That's a huge problem. And they did that by their bad policies, a bunch of them. I mean, I'm not, you know what they are. I'm not going to bore you. But and it, the truth is you hate the people you wrong. If you commit an offense against someone, if you sin against someone, you end up hating that person. And that's really why. And so they invert it all. I mean, the most, of course, the most powerless and reviled people in America are rural people. Obviously, there's no, you know, they can't get into Stanford, no matter what their SAT scores are. No one is putting a thumb on the scale for them. Our whole world just collapsed. And I'm not really mad about it, but you have to – this is what I was saying at the outset. You have to adjust to reality as you find it. I'm not in charge of American society or of historical trends at all. So, you know, if things change dramatically, you have to adjust. The big questions are always the ones we ignore. You know, we spend an endless amount of time debating the minutiae, you know, angels dancing on the head of a pin, but, like, we never step back and say, our debt is literally unsustainable. Testosterone is falling to the point where we may not be able to reproduce. And the life expectancy of your average American is in decline. These are the big things. The big things are where you need to focus your attention. It pains me as an American and as someone who's always been, I think, patriotic in the most basic sense. I love America. I'm not going anywhere. I don't have another passport, you know. It pains me to ever think the U.S. government is involved in something that it shouldn't be, because it's being done in my name, for one thing. As an American, I don't see Russia as our main rival on the world stage. I don't see it as even approaching that level of threat to the United States. Our main rival is China. And so I have no idea why you wouldn't want Russia on your side, Putin on your side, as some sort of rough alliance against China. And then the same would be true for every European and Eurasian country. Like, why wouldn't you want that? I think that you would if you were serious about the Chinese threat, which, of course, we're not. You know, I lived in this country in 1985. I think it was, like, a great year. You know, country had a lot of problems or whatever, but compared to what? You know, and it was a very middle-class country with basically bourgeois values, and with that American strain of libertarianism, you know, you do your thing, I'll do mine, and we're not going to get in each other's faces over it. And I like that. You know, I like that. There was a, you know, people had something in common with each other. I want to live in a country where, you know, lots of different kinds of people, different races. I'm all about, that's great, pluralism, great. But ultimately that we're united in some kind of common American culture where every person feels, I hate the word, but empowered as a citizen. Hey, I'm a citizen. I'm a taxpayer. You never heard me say that anymore. You can't f*** with me. I pay my taxes. I follow the law. Like, I know my rights. I'm not a peon. I'm not a serf. I'm not your slave. Like, I don't care if you're an FBI agent or the president of the United States. I have as many rights as you do, and I know what those rights are. And we stand equal to each other. We are peers because we're both Americans. That's the attitude I want, and that attitude only grows out of democratic government, a government where every person feels that he is vested in the system, that his vote is worth every bit as much as his neighbor he disagrees with. And that's the country that I grew up in, and they'll try and tell you, oh, it's this racist dystopia. That's a lie. No, it wasn't. I was here. It was not a racist dystopia. It was a nice country with some problems, but fundamentally the nicest country that's ever been. And it was nice because in the end, everybody or the overwhelming majority had something in common with everybody else. And I want to get back to that. That's my vision for America.
Mm.
And again, that's only possible in a democracy. The problem with the strongman, there are many problems with the strongman, but one of them is the message that it sends to everyone else is there are multiple tiers. You're either in the royal family or you're a subject of the royal family. And that creates, you know, no man can be a citizen, a full citizen, in a monarchy. And I don't want that at all. I do think democracy is very problematic in a country that's divided. I think it's always been a difficult system to administer. It's certainly an easy system to subvert. Cheating is really easy in a democracy. And so it's hard, but I still think it's worth it because the outcome is a country where each person, regardless of income or birth or color, has dignity and rights. I'm an American. Mm. You know what I mean? You can't talk to me that way. I have dignity, and that's, like, essential. Yeah. It's essential, and that's, you know, where you're not afraid to get pulled over by the police, even if you've been speeding, because, you know, they may fine you. They may even arrest you if you're going too fast, but in the end, you know you're safe because you're a citizen, and they can't dick with you too much. How there'll be these huge things happening, these huge movements or cultural trends, subcultures within this country that I knew nothing about. You know, it's like the country's so big and it's so diverse in a basic sense, no majority anything, you know, that you can have little countries within the country. And I'm not against that. I like regionalism, but you have to figure out what unites everybody. The country does not remain united just by accident or because, no. It's a physics principle. It will break apart unless you thoughtfully figure out a way to keep it together. And I don't think anyone's thinking about that at all.
And that, dear listener, Tucker Carlson, talking about the wickedness going on in Washington, D.C. Revelation 21, verse 8 declares, "But the fearful and the unbelieving, the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." There is no purgatory. It's heaven or hell when you die. John 3, 17, Jesus said, "He that believeth on him is the Son of God. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Here in Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 through 14, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to shew him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And it was fulfilled in 69-70 AD when Titus and those Roman armies sacked Jerusalem and destroyed that temple. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. That shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." And you jump down, verses 21 down through verse 31. "For there shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. For the elect's sake, those days should be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall shew great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." Hebrews 9, verses 27 and 28 declare, "And as it is appointed, the men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time, without sin unto salvation." Reincarnation is a lie of the devil. Hindu, New Ager, any of you others out there that believe in it, reincarnation is a lie of the devil. It's appointed the men once to die, but after this the judgment, prepare to meet thy God. Okay, Brother Kenny, if you would like to go on for the next clip, please.
There's a lot about modern economic theory that's important but difficult to understand. In fact, many of the people formulating these theories don't really understand them, and that's why they can never explain anything clearly. But there is one core economic fact that everybody, even those of us with poor math skills, grasp instantly, and that's when we're getting poor. How do you know when you're getting poor? Well, you know you're getting poor when you don't have enough money to do the things that you once did. You are moving backward. It is a very scary feeling. Nothing makes Americans poorer faster than inflation does. Now, finance moguls who borrow money for a living love inflation. It makes their debt cheaper. It's a good thing for them. But everyone else hates it because it crushes them in ways that are very obvious day to day. So with that in mind, the new inflation numbers are out, and they're the worst this country has seen in nearly 40 years. According to the Consumer Price Index, inflation is up almost 7% over the past 12 months. It's very high. The problem is the reality is much worse than that, and that's because the Consumer Index is useless as a guide to life in America. It doesn't actually measure the cost of living. In that way, it is a lie. It's a rigged government number, one of many. Now, the CPI is calculated by assigning relative weight to different categories of goods. It's a very complex series of formulas. Some of them were formulated in good faith. Others were designed to deceive you. But in effect, the bottom line is the CPI does a very bad job of measuring how much it actually costs to live in this country. For example, gas prices. In the CPI, gas prices constitute less than 4% of the total value of the products included. Now, that's realistic if you happen to live in, say, Manhattan, where pretty much nobody drives a car. But if you have a car and you drive more than a few miles to work every day, that's ridiculous. Because for you, gas prices are a far larger part of your budget. And yet all of this is ignored by the CPI. You don't need to be an economist to understand this. The bottom line is these are not accurate numbers. But they were put together by people who we consider very smart. So you have to ask yourself, why are these numbers inaccurate? Think about it. The Consumer Price Index measures the downside of federal economic policy. So let's say you printed too many U.S. dollars. You wanted to fund useless programs and pay off your donors. Now, if you did that, you would devalue your own currency. You would cause inflation. Over time, you would impoverish your own population. Those would be the effects. But, of course, you would want to hide those effects. You'd instead want to tell everybody that thanks to you, the economy is great. And the Consumer Price Index allows politicians to do that. The CPI allows reckless, economically illiterate leaders to hide the mess they have made. It's a conflict of interest if there ever was one. It's like putting Bernie Madoff in charge of the audit committee. What do you think is going to happen if you do that? Fake numbers allow fake economists to tell a fake story about what's actually happening to the country. And they've definitely been doing that. In fact, there's only one accurate way to measure inflation, and somehow the Fed has not yet figured this out. Here it is. You ask yourself, what does it cost you to live in this country compared to what it cost you a year ago? It's not complicated. Do the math, and you will see that the actual number, the rise in inflation, is not even close to the 7% that Washington is claiming. In the last year, the price of a used car, for example, has gone up by more than 30%. Beef prices have risen by 21%. Crude oil, up 55%. Dimensional lumber, 35%. Sugar, 33%. Corn, 39%. Palm oil, 43%. Do you drink coffee in the morning? Ever? Oh, too bad. The price of coffee has risen 108% in the last year. Do you like breakfast cereal? Oh, sorry, oats are up 114%. And those are just the numbers you see on the label at the grocery store. In addition to conventional inflation, consumers also face widespread shrinkflation. That's an informal term that economists use for the stealth shrinking of consumer products. So companies sell you less for the same price. Have you bought a Snickers bar recently? If it seems a lot smaller than it used to, that's because it is. And those are just the products you buy. Most people in this country still live indoors, and the cost of living indoors has risen dramatically. $2,600 per month for a depressing little unit in a deeply crummy part of the state. That cost $800 a year ago. So that's what was going on in this country when Jerome Powell and Joe Biden were telling you that inflation was transitory. These people don't buy things, or are they just lying? Either way, everybody else knows exactly what's going on because it's impossible to ignore. One group that would never even consider believing numbers like these, crap like this, is investors. They're not looking at the Consumer Price Index. They do this for a living, and they know exactly what dangerous inflation looks like, and that's why they're buying hard assets. You see it everywhere. The median sales price of an existing single-family home in Austin, Texas, increased 33.5% in a single year. The median price of a condo around Miami has gone up nearly 21%. Now, real estate in Dade County was already wildly overheated. Now it's a bonfire. Why is that happening? Simple. Investors are afraid. Consider equities prices. The S&P 500 is up 28% in the last year. Now, if you're looking for the real inflation rate, that's a lot closer than the CPI is going to get you. But if you want to know what people who think about money for a living really think about the economy and the value of the U.S. dollar, look at the value of cryptocurrency. Cryptocurrency is, by definition, a refuge from inflation. People buy Bitcoin when they decide the U.S. dollar is no longer safe. What's happened to Bitcoin? It's up 164% in the past year. Ethereum and other cryptocurrencies up 622%. So you should consider that a referendum on the strength of our economic system, as judged by the people who know the system best, because that's exactly what it is. So these are major changes to the U.S. economy, and they're very ominous. For financial journalists, there is no bigger story right now than this, what we just said. And yet, amazingly, these shameless hacks are studiously ignoring it. For those who worry about growing inequality, inflation might actually be a salve up to a point. We're becoming Venezuela, but that's a good thing because your neighbor is going to be every bit as poor as you are. So that's the current state of the cutting edge of financial journalism in this country.
Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And I would just interject here, Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ, he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by him. John 14, 6, it is written, if your faith is in any one other than the Lord Jesus Christ, as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob manifested in the flesh, you are an idolater, condemned, unclean, as a sinner, as a transgressor, of the very law, of the great I am, the God of Moses, the God of heaven and earth, who said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Romans 6:23 declares, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Death, doing evil against triune holiness. In Hebrew, you say God Elohim, Av, that's the Father, Ben, Son, Ruach Kadesh, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. Doing evil against triune holiness. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. John 1:1 tells us, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made manifest in the flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And Ephesians 2:8-10, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before ordained that we should walk in them. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And that last clip you heard was, again, Tucker Carlson there, as he was talking about how the inflation is, through the Consumer Price Index, really waging war on the middle class of the United States of America. And all the more waging war on those who were below the middle class, and all the more enlarging the gap between the rich elite and the poor of society. The Lord Jesus Christ himself, according to the Word of God, he and all of his riches became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich spiritually with the blessings of heaven. praise be to his name and thank God for him. Kenny, if you would go on with our next clip, please.
Just before I do, Tim, a question you might want to be able to research and maybe find with some clips or something to answer. Gerald Cox here in Ashtabula asked this question of you to look up. Something about a lab out in California with some mice or rats or something with some sort of disease that they were either trying to keep from getting there was supposed to be some raid or something, and they I'm not sure exactly what the whole thing was about, but either the disease got out or they were trying to keep it from getting out or something, and they were trying to keep it hush-hush. No one was supposed to know about it. And then also something about some school buses that became missing in Maui, okay? And it wasn't reported or whatever. So you want to check into that. He's interested in finding out if you could find out information on that and present it on one of these shows, okay? So, all right,
yes,
we'll get into your next clip here.
Good luck to you with Dave Hodges. If he did not do so already, will report on that whole matter of the school buses, especially if it was something that just happened in the last couple of days.
All right. Well, we'll get into your next clip then.
So if you've been paying attention for the past 5 or 6 years, and we know you have been, you've probably noticed the inverted nature of modern language. Pretty much everything is precisely the opposite of what they claim it is. So the people who tell you they're defending democracy are promoting authoritarianism, which is not democracy. And this is our new favorite, the so-called World Economic Forum seems to exist to destroy national economies. Not an overstatement, it was the WEF, keep in mind, that told the government of Sri Lanka to give up modern fertilizer. Oh, good plan, guys, go ahead and try it. Result? The country collapsed and people starved. Then it was the WEF that promoted Sam Bankman-Fried's historic Ponzi, the biggest financial fraud in history. Apparently the savants at the World Economic Forum just couldn't tell that this twitchy, pill-popping kid in cargo shorts, who literally played video games during interviews, was an utterly transparent scammer. They had no idea. They thought he was a genius, just like them. That's the World Economic Forum for you. The event kicked off this week with 84-year-old Klaus Schwab. He's the founder of the WEF, promising to, quote, master the future.
We believe that we can do it. That through collective responsibility, innovation, human goodwill, and ingenuity, we have the capacity to turn the challenges into opportunities.
So mastering the future is now the top item on the to-do list at the World Economic Forum this year. That's the first clue. These people are not living the same life you are. By the end of this week, you hope to find some time to get an oil change or maybe pick up some dandruff shampoo at Rite Aid. At the World Economic Forum, they plan to master the future. That's the kind of people they are. The conclusion this year at the World Economic Forum is that people who are not at the World Economic Forum have too much free speech, too many bad ideas, too much crazy, and too much opportunity to talk. They're still talking out there. Stop them before they talk some more! So if you're getting the impression that the world's most mediocre people and least self-aware people are all congregating in Switzerland this week, you are on to something. In fact, it might be worth getting an attendee list just to make certain that not a single person who is there this week ever has power over you in any way. If one of these people shows up supervising the bake sale at your kid's school, call the police. They're not qualified. Do you remember when you first heard about the Chinese government's one-child policy? It sounded so foreign, so crazy, so grotesque. Here, the Communist Party was deciding how many children people were allowed to have. To the Western mind, the whole thing was repugnant and alien. But maybe the most un-American thing about the Chinese one-child policy was the policy itself. The idea that government could insert itself into the most intimate details of your private life struck most Americans at a gut level as incomprehensible. The whole point of America was to avoid plans like that. The whole point of America was personal freedom. That's why the country was founded. What you do in private, on your own time, with your own money, within the boundaries of the law, was your own business and nobody else's business. It was a foundational point. And on that question, there appeared to be, thank God, bipartisan agreement. Conservatives believed in the Bill of Rights. Liberals believed in personal choice. My body, my choice, they said. Government out of our personal lives. They said that for decades. Now we know they didn't mean it. Turns out that liberals were very eager to intrude as deeply as possible into people's personal lives, just as long as they controlled the government. Once they were in charge, they set about doing this with no limits and no acknowledgement of the existence of personal liberty. But your average leftist is weak and afraid inside. And so the party is the most important thing, not the individual, the party. Together we are strong. Apart we are powerless. You're totally incompetent. This is a country that was founded because people didn't want to pay a tea tax, and so they started a war. But it's changing. And a lot of Americans, we hate to say, particularly affluent ones, particularly affluent middle-aged women living in cities, not to be too specific, are totally for this. Today, the New York Times published an op-ed from a woke American woman who spent 16 years living in China. What does she miss about China? She misses the Communist Party of China co-parenting her children. She thinks the Chinese commissars did a better job as a mother than she could have. She misses their firm hand. You got to fight for freedom no matter what.
Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 25, down through the end of the chapter, and we'll get into Ephesians 5. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. Rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Again, malice meaning desire to harm another. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Are you forgiven, dear listener? Ephesians 5, verses 1 down through verse 6. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Are you a thankful soul towards your Creator? Are you a thankful soul before your Creator? Verse 5 of Ephesians 5, 6, verse 6. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with feigned words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. And verse 7, Ephesians 5, be not ye therefore partakers with them. In 1 John chapter 1, we read, we walk in the light as he, God, is in the light. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Venial, mortal, all sin. Again, there is no purgatory. It's heaven or hell when you die. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. One God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, not the one you call Virgin Mary, Roman Catholic, not some sinner dressed in a religious robe or any other so-called saint. No, there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. All right, Kenny, I think. Wrong. Is there one more clip, or do we have our midway song next?
One more clip. Are you ready for it?
I am ready.
Okay, here we go.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With us today is Chris Rossini, our co-host. Chris, good to see you today.
It's great to see you too, Dr. Paul.
Wonderful. We're going to talk about an item that we thought we had disposed of. We gave an opinion a couple years ago and hit hard for a couple years, and everybody seemed to be agreeing with us that that whole thing about COVID and inoculations and vaccinations, you know, was so bizarre and weird and was unnecessary and very harmful that they would never, that you'd think they'd want to hide it. But now they're bringing it out again, even under the circumstances that the blind support that they got a couple years ago, it's not there, but they still believe in their ability to galvanize people and stir them up and scare them, and that they can get enough fear that people are going to take the vaccine. But, you know, evidence keeps popping up that shows that it's not much good. Now, we would think that there's no restriction and no holding back for giving the president and his wife the best treatment possible. And I imagine the president had it. I didn't see that exactly written, but we certainly know that Jill has received all the shots. But there's a shock to the community who defends all this stuff and justifies the necessity for spending the money, buy more vaccines. They have the vaccine right now, and they're looking for the virus to give it to, and that's what we're in transition for. But Jill had all her shots and boosters and everything else, and she's sick, so she says. But, you know, it isn't like somebody's sick and somebody's in the family and somebody we know and it's just some innocent person that has an illness is very sick. But the record after 2.5 years of it shows that it in itself is not a dangerous disease. It, in a combination with bad medical treatment and with a mixture of other elements, it can be very damaging. So I think this is definitely necessary to deal with, but quite frankly, it's going to be overblown, and also I'm optimistic that the society should not and will not quite get as hysterical as they did a couple years ago.
I'm with you, Dr. Paul. I don't think it's going to be easy to pull off if so. But, you know, the irrationality of all this nonsense is astounding. You know, when we read Joe Biden had multiple injections and boosters and has COVID for the second time now, you know, that alone, you know, disqualifies this whole thing. But then we read, oh, no, the FDA is set to approve another booster. And the White House press secretary says, we know that these vaccines work. You know, you have to stay up to date. First off, if you're using the words stay up to date, you're admitting that they don't work. You know, it's not. It's obviously not a vaccine. It's a treatment. And the treatment doesn't work because people are getting all of these and still getting COVID. I mean, it's reached comical levels. And, you know, it's hard to, you know, we're dealing with now irrationality. And but that's the way it is, and they're trying to at least start this again.
Very good. You know, this stuff that's going around and that we have to listen to and we'll try to refute and get people educated about is something that always brings back to my mind a book that I read a long time ago. It's a very famous book. It was written in 1841 by Charles McKay. And his book was called Extraordinary Personal Delusions and the Madness of Crowds. And he goes through a bunch of things that happened way back there. 1841, this was written. And this included the tulip mania that went on. And that was something that was a big deal. So here we have this one right now. Now, McKay's final decision on it was the crowds go mad in herds. they get up and just mobs and they all make mistakes. But coming back to common sense comes about one by one. That's a different story, so we have to work that into our expectations. Chris?
That's true, Dr. Paul. We notice this in stadiums with sports. You'll have two people that go to a game, they support, the opposing teams, and they'll get into a fist fight with one another. You know, they're in a big crowd, and they'll start beating each other up. Now, take the crowd away, and these two people most likely would not do such a thing. But, you know, when you're in a crowd and when you have that collective mentality and you ditch your own individuality, you do things that are stupid. And that's why it's called the madness of crowds. You know, and that's why propaganda is concerned about the masses. It's not concerned about each and every individual because it's not going to get each and every individual, but it wants mass hysteria, mass fear. You know, so that's why there is such a thing as madness of crowds, because individuals they ditch their own reason in order to follow what they see other people doing. COVID was a perfect example of that. People did some atrocious things, you know, in the name of COVID. They were doing their job. How many times have we heard that throughout history, of people doing their job and committing atrocities? Well, it happens, and it could happen again if we're not careful.
That's always the thing that all of us think about, is if it's so obvious to us that some of this just doesn't make any sense, and they even have the support from very reputable and trustworthy scientists and doctors on our side of this argument. But the numbers and the people who have the power and the control and own the pharmaceutical companies, you know, it's just so overwhelming. You think, why? What is their strategy? Are they malicious? Well, I think there is. There are a bunch that are malicious, but I think there's a lot of them are sincere. The people who want to obey the government, and we do have to protect the community and our family, and they go along with it because they buy into and carelessly accept the idea that the government wants to warn us of danger ahead. And they respond in that way. But the truth is they're off track. And I think, as far as I'm concerned, this was all proven over with all the scientists that came out and refuted it. And finally, they quit the lockdown. And the articles are, abundant. The statistics don't support the nonsense. The one thing I resented the most, and I've said this many times, is this whole thing that in order for the authoritarians to work their mischief, they had to dispel any belief by any hanger-ons to science and say that there is no such thing as natural immunity. So don't depend on that, and even outlaw and punish doctors who even talked about it or used it. And yet it turns out that it was much better treatment, because if you look at the cases throughout the whole country and the world, if you try to isolate it, people just having COVID and nothing else, it's very, very few people who died from it. But there are millions who died with it, because that was like saying, oh, they had that particular cold and they were coughing, and therefore, but they had other things going wrong too. They had other conditions that were happening. And the treatment, sometimes it was the treatment. Just think of the tragedy in the nursing homes. Elderly people that weren't ambulating, on a lot of medications, very ill. And the death rate in some of these institutions was just tremendous. And so I thought, the information is out there. So I'm a little bit shocked, but not totally surprised that somebody would come back. But it's still really weird that they would come back and right now say the same thing. They don't have any new statistic, new reason, and yet we see so many people falling in line and doing exactly what the government tells them. But the whole problem is, what has happened in the last several years, even before COVID, is the sacrifice of decision-making process in medicine went from doctor-patient relationships and private enterprises to, you know, the government and to corporations who make a lot of money on this. So corporatism, a form of an introduction to fascism, where governments and business people get together and make plans. And believe me, that is a big deal in a lot of areas. The pharmaceuticals, medicine now is a big deal. And this is understandable, but it's really evil in many ways, because if they know it, they either have to do a tremendous job of brainwashing themselves, or they can just say, so what if they don't kiss me and I don't have to go to jail, we won't have to worry about it. But it's also part of this system that I've complained about, is that people operate when governments get out of control, and there's so much power and distortion in it, is they get by and they want to reject the idea and the people who would say, well, it's not true, and it's not justified, it's not trustworthy, it's not right. Well, no, we don't like that. We would have to dispose of those people, and so therefore the ones who are there and they don't want that to interfere with their plans, they become nihilists because they said, oh, so we're doing okay. Because there's people who claim they know the truth. They can't know the truth. And it is true that there's no one person or one system that knows all the truth. Matter of fact, all of life for 5,000-6,000 years of recorded history has been modified by individuals always trying to sort out right and wrong, and understanding that there was a higher law, natural law, that's quite a bit different than when government takes over controls and eliminates the individual from making these decisions. You end up with medical care that's messed up. You end up with a government that gets messed up, a Department of Justice that gets messed up. And this is the mess that the people are suffering from. They don't quite understand it, and I can see why so many who don't pay much attention, they may, when they start hearing, oh, the Bidens think it's back again, and they're getting ready to put lockdown again, and they're not people who want to stand up. They want to just keep things going and go along. It's unbelievable how they can rationalize. But like I say, my belief is there's going to be less. They're already resisting. But the only tool we have is trying to expose and give the people the truth of things, and that eventually you can win over. The one thing about Mackey said in his book was, yes, they go mad in herds, and yet the recovery to their senses goes one at a time. So, yes, we see a mob out there, and it's sort of part of that mob mentality and riots and things to go along. But it takes one person at a time. It's very, very slow, very, very frustrating. But that is why it's really great to see an example of this, when one person stands up in a crowd that's ambivalent and wanting to know what's going on, what are you going to do for me, and they speak the truth, and the people all of a sudden, hey, you know, that sounds right. So one at a time, and then there's a burst of energy, and I think I hope at least that we're far enough along in explaining the nonsense of all this. But right now, we're going to know in the next couple of weeks if there's going to be more mandates put on us. If they're not careful, that is the enemy of liberty. If they're not careful, they're going to arouse a lot of people who are going to be really disgusted. The parents already are expressing their disgust about going back to school. It emphasized what it was like before, how bad the kids had done in school, and now they're thinking about putting it on again, and some have even gone ahead and done it. So, and our tool is, our tool can't be taking over the government control of medicine. That's the problem. It's a problem. Or government schools being instituted. That's the problem. But it's truth is the only answer that we have. So personal, desires ought to be to seek the truth and then try to spread it. And I don't have any other way that I think we can combat this without violence.
Yeah, that's right, Dr. Paul. Hopefully a lot of people woke up from the last time, because this is the pattern of government. That's nobody's ever punished for the wars, so they just move from one to the next to the next to the next. You know, they close one out and open another one. Same thing looks to be happening with Ukraine. You know, Ukraine is falling apart, so that we're starting to talk about Taiwan now. Now this is how they operate. Because nobody is ever held accountable. Well, nobody, unfortunately, was held accountable for this whole COVID nonsense. So why not try it again? And they are. And I'm seeing celebrities are putting COVID tests that they're why are you even testing? What are you doing? You know, but they're doing it. And they're talking about cases in schools. Like, so what with the cases? You remember all that ticker nonsense that they had on the TV scaring everybody for no reason whatsoever? So they're at least trying here and there, like trial balloons, to see what sticks. But, you know, if this is allowed again, then this will continue every year. Every single year they will repeatedly renew their abuse on us. And that's the way authoritarians work. And, you know, we don't have to just worry about those authoritarians in Washington. It's the people in our neighborhood. It's the goofball at the supermarket that you have to worry about that's screaming at you to put a mask on. You know, so, but he's only going to do that if he feels empowered to do that. And that's why the word no better come off the lips of most of us. Otherwise, they're just going to continue this stuff repeatedly year after year.
Very good. And I'm going to summarize that what you were just talking about and all that we're concerned about. Because I've boiled it down to three things of human activity that contributes to these things. Now, this is not new. Obviously, was if a major book in 1841 was dealing with the madness of crowds and all this silliness that goes on and how people don't think things through. But I think the three things that we have to think about is, one, a lot of people accept the arguments because and the people presenting the argument are humanitarians. They do it and convince you. They're doing it, you know, to protect my neighbor, to protect my kids, and all of this thing, and they get convinced of that, and they get the propaganda convince them. If they don't, they're a contributor to some very, very bad things. So the instinct, and that's also used a lot of times in foreign policy, is patriotism. Even in this instance of the lockdown, you have to be a good patriot, and you have to listen to the government for these good reasons. But the other thing is pure ignorance. There are some people who haven't thought it through. They listen to the superficial arguments, and they haven't looked at it. I'm surprised that so many physicians who are supposed to have had education at least understand that the doctor-patient relationship is important, and corporations shouldn't be running medicine. So it's so often ignorance, though, that people either deny it or exclude it or conveniently forget about it. But a lot of people spout off who promote this nonsense in these lockdowns and all this government medicine. That doesn't work. And the third thing I think that is real, and this is conspiratorial, because I believe in conspiracies. I believe in the conspiracies that are true, and I reject the ones that turn out to be just lies. There are some conspiracies where people get together and conspire or educate and try to present the cause of liberty. And you could put that in the category of a good conspiracy, a good planning, a good education. But that's not what most people think when you say conspiracy. And a bad conspiracy involved in this type of activity is that of people that want power. They get together. You have the corporations coming together. You have the financial people coming there. You have the bureaucrats coming together. You have the educators coming together. And they're all pumping out all this interventionism, government planning, and they have all these excuses. It's the challenge of a situation where some people seek the truth and some people seek the principle that nihilism exists. You can't know the truth, so forget about it. And I think that's where we are right now, the last 100 years. That group that supports the nihilistic approach, now they've been winning the fight. But there's nothing that says they can't be that can't be changed. And I thought when the COVID thing was slowing on, that would have happened. But there's so much left to do. But I still believe with the right kind of effort, education and the spreading of this message, I think that is still available for us. And, Chris, do you have another statement or is that it?
I do have one quick one just to end here. You know, we've all seen, or most of us, I'm sure, have seen the World War II movies, and, you know, you think, how can people have done such things? You know, the Nazis, the Soviets, all the different communist regimes and fascist regimes that have happened throughout history. And the thing is, it's because we're dealing with human nature. And they were humans just like as we are humans. And if that COVID episode that happened a few years ago taught us anything, is that human nature is still human nature. People will do atrocious things. They were trying to and started in certain cities vaccine passports. You had to prove that you took a shot that doesn't work in order to participate in society. Everybody else was unclean, and you had to wait outside, you know, for your order to be brought out to you, and who knows where they would have taken that if they were, you know, if the vaccine did work, you know. So it just shows that here in America, human nature still prevails, that liberty has to be defended vigilantly. You know, the people that started this country, they embrace the ideas of liberty. But, you know, as new generations come in centuries later, you could throw the whole thing away if you want, you know. So, but we advise and hope that that never happens, because they did something really good, and it would be nice to live in a free society. You know, it would be nice to not have to complain about this. But, you know, today the authoritarians dominate. You know, they will always be around, authoritarians. There's no eliminating negativity or bad things or evil, but you can push it to the fringes. You can keep it at bay. And if that's the best we can do, then that's the best we can do. But we better start moving in that direction, because right now we're getting we're losing, you know. And they feel very bold in what they can do, and they feel like they could just let's do it again. So, you know, we've talked about the madness of crowds. The antidote to that is to think. We have the ability to reason as individuals. You do not have to follow the crowd. You know, we don't even have to tell the people that watch this show this, because there are a lot of smart people watch this show. But we can't just know the ideas. You have to speak them. That's the other side of the coin. You can't just educate yourself. You have to speak it, because this world needs it a lot.
You know, one of the arguments against what we believe in will come from the opposition. They'll say, yes, if you're going to leave it up to the patient finding a doctor and taking care of himself, he might not do a good job. He might not be able to find the right doctor. He might not do well. So therefore, we have to have government helping to regulate medications, everything down the line. But the one thing is they have one point. If you're responsible for your own upkeep and your own freedom and safety and education ourselves rather than the government, yeah, it's true. It won't be a perfect world, and some will mess up because some are, not very conscientious about it, and that'll be a problem. But there'll be a stronger motivation for them to do something about it, because there are a lot of resources. Amazingly, when the government's not there, they come about to help people. So, but the thing of it is, if people have their liberties and they make a mistake, let's say they took a medication or refused to take it, and they do something that that was harmful to them. That hurt themselves. Their decision hurt themselves, and that's one thing. And the idea that, oh, if we had government, that would have prevented it. No, it does exactly the opposite. You get Dr. Fauci making all the decisions for everybody, and he becomes like a tyrant, and he can rule. So the mistakes made by whether it's Dr. Fauci or the system of government, making sure that we're safe, and it's this whole idea that government has to make us safe. The truth is governments can't make us safe. They can provide a system of government and under which we can live, where we are the safest. Because I think recognition that the Second Amendment might make us safer than, police forces in San Francisco. I mean, what have some of these cities done? They've destroyed it. And they, I guess we better defund them, you know, stuff like that. So what they do is so much disastrous. But they lack the confidence that liberty can work. It works the best of anything. Tyrants are not the answer to the problems that we have. And that is a true story on interpersonal relationships, economic relationships, and also international relationships, that we ought to do this with freedom in mind, that things should be done in a voluntary way. So if you're ready to get into an association with another person or group or whatever, if both sides agree on what the terms are, just think if we had honorable people, there would be no problem. But what if you introduce this third factor, which is the government? Are we going to trust the government? Well, a lot of people have, and a lot of people still do. But we also have 68% of the people now or more in this country, they don't even believe the government when they come on. That's why, Chris, I linger and keep thinking that maybe they won't believe their nonsense when they come out and they say, oh, yeah, we have a new drug. They're not saying we have a new drug and we need to test it. We need to use it because we've already bought it. You know, they will not be willing to go along with that. But I think the best we can do is say we will seek the truth and do the best we can to understand it and pass the message along. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. Please come back to the Liberty Report soon.
It is written in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? It's also written in the Psalms. Psalm 118, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Jesus Christ, the Lord himself, said, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but it's passed from death unto life. It is written, and whoso was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again, for except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Just like you couldn't do anything and didn't do anything to get born into your earthly physical family, dear listener, you do not and cannot do anything good to get born into God's family. Jesus said it like this, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. Titus 3, verse 5, not by righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Okay, Kenny, if you would now do our midway song, please. Kenny, you there?
It's coming, Tim.
Live with thee, live forever.
Thing that one day is with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things should be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Will you and I, dear listener, be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless? Only in and through his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, will we be found in such a state. For he is that Prince of Peace, Prince Eternal, and Christ Eternal. Are you, as Abraham, looking for that city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God? Looking for the glorious and blessed hope of our blessed God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 John, it's written, chapter 1, verse 8 through 10, we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation. Propitiation means substitute payment. And he is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Or have you by grace through faith, and that not of yourself? Have you claimed the propitiation of the Lord Jesus Christ for your sins? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, as it's given unto you from heaven. I pray, dear listener, call upon him even now. Surely as you're convicted of sin, judgment, and righteousness, and you know you're on your way to hell and you deserve it, call upon him, and he'll be faithful to save you as you put your faith in him, his death, burial, and resurrection alone. Repent you and believe the gospel, the good news, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. Kenny, if you would please play our last clip.
Hello, America. Glad to be with you. Thank you so much for joining us. I wanted to take this, and with regard to smart cities and 15-minute cities, I wanted to explain how they're alike, how they're different, and I wanted to go through all the things, or a lot of the things you can expect. I certainly can't cover it in one presentation, but one of the things I think is really important is that you really come to understand that this is here right now, and they're going to do it. They're absolutely going to impose this upon us. Can we stop it? Not without some divine help from above. We're brought to you by Noble Gold, and I listen, this is so appropriate, I'll say this. The only things that will get you out of the way of this is gold, some precious metals, obviously, that would include gold, and Bitcoin. That's the only way to step out of this. And that'll become clear as we go through here. Noble Gold can get your retirement out of the control of the bank and under your control and back it with gold, which is a lot better than the dollar. Noble Gold can also protect your bank account. Want to find out more? Go to DaveHodgesGold.com, and I'll send you a free information packet. And I'm telling you, you leave your money in the bank. Don't worry about it. Well, you won't have to, because the Dodd-Frank Law 2010 means they're going to take it when they're in trouble. And there are 4,200 banks plus right now that are in trouble. So DaveHodgesGold.com, and we can help you out. All right, let's talk about a little bit about the organization. And welcome to everybody. And we're going to be, and I really want a big Q&A tonight. And I've got a little more time than I've had in the past. I'm not so pressed at the end of the night here, but yeah, I gotta get my workout in. That's right. I'm just trying to stay. You know, I'm getting so old. When I go by graveyards, men chase me with shovels. So I try to work out six times a week. I vary it up. I do HIIT. I do cardio. I do lifting, upper and lower, and I try, and I'm actually trying to get to a point where I can maybe step on the basketball court for 5 minutes. Boy, would that be a trip down memory lane. And my body would be saying, what are you doing here, boss? Okay, let's talk about who's in charge of smart cities. It comes out of Agenda 2030, but they're not operational at the UN. They farm this out. And do you know who they call the secretariat for this? The World Economic Forum. I recommend that you spend a lot of time on the World Economic Forum. And they'll tell you, like Clay Clark came on my show several months ago, and he played clips from Harari, the number two man. And he said, free will is an illusion today. Humans are completely hackable. And he's correct. I've actually covered this in other areas. And they want to tie you into the grid so you're like the Borg and you can't exist without being in the grid. And he says it. This information and more and everything you want to know about smart cities is right there. And what's interesting is there's been studies done on smart cities, and they said it's not going to work. And I don't think it'll work either. And it conflicts for the globalists with some people in the social justice crowd. And I won't get into all the reasons why, but they're at odds with each other on some of these issues. But listen to me. They want this at the top levels, the top echelon. They don't care if it works for you or not. Oh, transportation will be good. You'll be able to go everywhere. And it's snowing. Your bus doesn't show up. And you got 15 minutes to walk to work. Can you see that happening? All I have to say is a four-letter word. Maybe it's five. Maui. That's government efficiency. but they don't care if it works. They're going to impose it upon you. So it does come out of the World Economic Forum, and I would say really monitor that site. A lot of people don't know the difference between a smart city and a 15-minute city. A smart city is the overall encompassing plan. Okay, and I'll go through some of the elements here. A 15-minute city has to do with regulating travel and the security between the various zones and districts. Have any of you ever driven through New Mexico? Have you noticed they have districts now? They, on their highway signs, because when I drive to Colorado, you know, I'll do the I-17 to I-40, I-25 and up to Colorado. And in New Mexico, they have signs like, you've entered District 3. I feel like I'm in the Hunger Games movie. The districts and zones are what they're using to refer to for 15-minute city travel zones. New Mexico's already there. And I got to tell you, if you know anything about New Mexico, oh, my gosh, their governor, Grisham, she makes Biden look honest. Seriously. And can you get a fair election there? Well, a lot of people say no. I don't know. I'm not in New Mexico. But I'll tell you, a lot of people don't like her. But she stays in power, totally open border, won't assist the people, overrun. You get the idea. But they have districts in New Mexico. All right, now, a smart city is a top-down model. In other words, there's no grassroots, no decentralization, one size fits all. It reminds me of the old Soviet Union five-year plans. And that centralization of effort never worked. And they don't care if it works. It's centralization for your food. Now, could they be a little more efficient than we anticipate? Yeah, because artificial intelligence is going to control it. Did you see Bill Gates was asked the other day? Bill, are you worried about AI and it could turn on humans? Well, it is a legitimate concern, but I think we can manage it. He's saying, I don't care because the transhumanist movement melds man and machine and I plan to be first in line. Doesn't matter to me. And that's Bill Gates. By the way, did you see Bill Gates donated $95 million to bail out a wokester? Did anybody see that? He gave $95 million to Anheuser-Busch, Bud Light. Parties at Bill's. Amazing, isn't it? Okay, top-down, centralist dictatorship. When you look at their plans, they have this concentric zone. I talked about that the other night with National ID. And you see row after row after row, row after house. But you know what's missing? There's two things missing. Bars and churches. Isn't that interesting? And there's actually a third thing missing, and I'll get to that a little bit later when we talk about transportation. But what's really interesting to me, there are no churches. Are you surprised? Okay. 2,000 calories per day. Now, some publications say 2,400. Mr. Jones, you have diabetes. You cannot buy that candy bar. You may not have those french fries. Go home, sir, and eat bugs. They won't have that power. Smart grid technology. Mrs. Davis, what are you doing? It's 95 degrees out. The humidity's 50%. You're running your air at 78, and you're doing your dishes and washing your clothes. What is wrong with you? We're shutting the whole thing down for the afternoon. Smart grid, AI. You may get a message, you may not. That's why they have the smart meters in your house. By the way, something interesting about smart meters came out in Virginia Farber's lawsuit against the FTC, or the FCC, I should say. Do you know that when temperatures reach a certain level, smart meters can become inflammable? That's what came out in that court case. Interesting, isn't it? I know some of you will start drawing conclusions. Okay, they're also going to have carbon credits. They'll have carbon, what they call carbon offsets. And this is something that people don't understand. This is the biggest ripoff. Okay, I'm a measly little homeowner. I'm retired. So I don't get out much. Don't have a car to go around anywhere anymore. So the government gives me 5 carbon credits. And I can use it pretty much any way I want as long as I eat healthy and stick to my dictated diet. But in terms of cooling, heating my home, doing my laundry, using the dishwasher, which probably won't do anymore, probably doing it by hand, watching television, anything that uses energy, 5 credits. Now, you have a mid-sized business. Maybe you employ 30 employees. You might get 50 credits. Now you're General Electric. Behemoth organization, owner of ABC, ESPN, and all the things that they own in the media. What do you get? Doesn't matter. You say, what do you mean it doesn't matter? Well, I'm sure there'll be an amount. Maybe they get 10,000 because they're huge beyond belief. So let's assume they get 10,000. But it doesn't matter. What if they want to spend 20,000? They want to use 20,000 carbon credits, which double exceeds their limit. Isn't that going to hurt the environment? There's no provision for that. The way that carbon offset works is that General Electric could go purchase carbon credits from other entities that may not use theirs. Maybe they're low on budget. They're cutting back on their work hours. They've cut staff. And so what they end up doing is they end up buying carbon credits and beefing theirs up. And you say, well, wait a minute. Aren't we doing that to save the environment and to be carbon neutral? Yes. Then why should someone be able to buy their way out of it? I'm happy to tell you that the creators of this concept in America, you know very well. Do you have any idea who created this concept of carbon offsets in America? A former president. Before he was in the Senate. His name is Barack Obama. And who was actually in charge? Well, it was Valerie Jarrett was actually kind of the number one person, and Barack was the second managing partner. Valerie Jarrett and Barack Obama had something called the Chicago Climate Exchange. And they tried to get this rammed in by the Senate when Obama got elected, and it failed miserably. They wanted to cut electrical use for every American power usage by 80%. Do you guys remember this? The year was 2009, and the Senate said, up your nose with a rubber hose. But things were different then. They were different than they are now. Okay, so that's carbon offsets, and people really fail to understand that. Stay tuned. There'll be a quiz at the end. Someone brought up Uranium One. Great topic, but not for this show. Okay. Accompanying this, too, will be something I've spent a lot of time, put a lot of attention to talking about, and that's centralized digital currency. Let me tell you how you can recognize when your state's ready to do it across the state. When they harmonize, and that's the key word, harmonize their computer systems that handle finance across the board for the state you're in, when they put them under one server, one controller, that means they're getting ready for CBDC. That's the preparatory step a state must take. By the way, guess what state is doing this right now as we speak? Oh, but they don't do anything with smart cities. It's Hawaii. Hawaii is harmonizing all their computers under one house if they have anything to do with finance. And the person who's speaking on that at the conference on September 25th, where they're going to talk about all these wonderful things that are going to happen in Hawaii, her job description is that she is a digital currency reform agent. I couldn't make this stuff up. If that's not CBDC, I've never heard of it. But central bank digital currency, if you're not familiar with it, let me break it down for you. And I'm sorry, I'll keep it brief because I know a lot of you do know this. Everything you own is tied into digits. And every expenditure you make, unless you get gold and Bitcoin and try to stay off that tracking grid, but everything you do is monitored. They can deny purchases. They can approve purchases. They can keep you from saving money. Now, listen to this. One of the keys to Americans up until recently having a better life than the generation before them was because we had generational transmission of wealth. We had very favorable inheritance laws. Well, those are going away. And under CBDC, they will disappear altogether. There is a shelf life on your money. So maybe you go out and you get three jobs. And you're working 80 hours a week. And two of the jobs pay really well. And you're walking away, you know, decent six-figure income, and life is good, and you got all these credits in the bank and the digital system. And then you find out, I can't save this. Well, wait a minute, I want to start a nest egg and pass it along to little Billy when I go to meet my Lord. Can't do that. In fact, they could even encourage you to spend by doing kind of what the Federal Reserve does now, printing more money than they have legitimately to spend, exceeding the budget to keep the donor class happy of the Democratic Party. I wish I was making this up, folks. They can say your currency is worth 2% less next month. What are people going to do? They're going to go out and buy and spend. If there was a recession coming or inflation was bad, all they got to do is pull that tactic. But at the end of the day, you will pass along nothing because, see, it's really not your money. It's kind of like you're a little kid and they're the parent and they're handing you your allowance. And just like a good parent, you know, if you found out that your 10-year-old was going out to buy some weed, you might step in and do something. You might take that money back. That's what they can do to you. And I've mentioned this before, but it bears repeating. When the truckers were going against all the mandates with Trudeau and so forth, and their state was interfering in trucking and so forth, and so they drove to Ottawa and peacefully protested. Do you remember what Trudeau did? He took their bank accounts. You can't protest against me. How dare you? I'm taking your money. No due process, just executive order. And then what they found out, that Mary Jane gave a $15 pizza to a bunch of truckers, they'll take her bank account. Sally donated $50. They took her bank account. Harry took them down to the local pub and bought them beers. They took his bank account. And this was a beta test to see if the people would have the intestinal fortitude to stand up to this and say, no, we're not doing this. You're not taking our money. They wanted to see if it lead to riots because they fear your numbers. This is why they support every lifestyle doesn't end in procreation, because they want to reduce the size of the population because your numbers are a sheer threat to their control. They are worried about this. And this was the beta test. Will people stand up when other people's bank accounts are stolen? And the answer was no. No. Now we're headed into another lockdown. People say, will people stand up? Not really. Not really. If history's a good judge, most people will go along with it. I know some of you, I won't. Yeah. But you're here because you're different. See, what is everybody else doing right now? Oh, those people worried about those things. I can't do anything about it anyway. Why even bother? Just sit back in your easy chair. Have a couple of beers. I'll get to that in a second, too. And everything will be fine. It'll pass away. See, this is what people said about Hitler when he came to power. How do I know? Because I'm the descendant of relatives that were there. And generally, the people, the merchant class, the upper middle class, they thought he was just going to be a passing fad. They said, oh, he's so boring, and he's full of himself, and someday he'll just go away. He did go away after Germany was in ruins. And this is what we're facing, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, I mentioned beer. Let's get to the diet part. You know, I'm sure a lot of you had this reaction.
You love nothing and love it. And by the way, you're going to have to eat bugs. Achtung,
says Klaus Schwab. And you said, no way in hell am I ever going to eat a bug. If they control your money, can they control what you eat? This is why I tell people right now, get your storable food. So you say, hey, why do you sell storable food? There you are, right there. That's one reason. Right there. Dave, why are you selling gold? So you can be outside their system as much as possible. Is it starting to make sense now? You need, Marjorie Taylor Greene already sees this. I mean, she's just not being as forthright as I am about it because she's got to play the politics. But she said, we need two Americas, a parallel America. She's right. I don't know if we can declare that formally. There's movements underway. The new California movement's really going well. I know there's people going from California that have worked with Paul Preston. They're going to Hawaii. There is an interest in there in forming a separate state with the islands other than Oahu. I think that's a good move. But at the end of the day, that's not going to solve the problem for CBDC. They can dictate what you eat. And they can also dictate your alcohol level. So those people, you're sitting on the couch right now, not listening to us, not caring about what's going on, and you're seeing this in retrospect after you just about lost everything. Do you know what, ladies and gentlemen? You're going to lose everything, and you won't even know what hit you. When central bank digital currency comes in, it's the end of the game as we know it. Just looking at my notes here. You'll be punished for bad behavior. You'll be subject to confiscation. Your purchases will be controlled. Oh, that'll never happen. Oh, really? Well, ask the people in northern Colorado where BMO Bank has come in from Canada, and they notified their people 2 weeks ago, and I covered this. After Labor Day, it's all digital, baby, and this is a major bank in northern Colorado. It's already starting. So here's another problem with these cities. Transportation. I've covered this before. Please tell me. You're 75 years old. You're in reasonably good health. Your mind is sharp. But you have a hard time getting around. You got osteoarthritis, rheumatoid arthritis. It's hard to get up and down out of a chair. You maybe can walk about 30 yards until you have to sit down. What are you going to do? Well, I've been assigned to this apartment on the third floor. Take the elevator. There is no elevator. Problem number one. Problem number two. What if you have to walk 50 yards to a bus stop? And how are you going to get to fill your prescriptions? Mass transit? Maybe. Can you trust it? In Denver, it's not bad. In Phoenix, it's a disaster. What's it like in your city? Would you trust your transportation system? I didn't think so. And who's going to enforce all this stuff? Well, there's 10,000 graduates of the Young Global Leaders Training Program. Do you find that interesting? Okay. Smart cities. Continuing. We've talked about diet. How about surveillance? They will fine you. In China, they fine you if you step outside the crosswalk. They fine you if you take too long crossing the street. If you're entering on the blink, you know, on the sign blinking, you get fined. You get fined if you throw something in the trash can and miss it, even if you go pick it up and put it in. Yeah, oh, and China, did you know there's 1.5 people for every camera of surveillance? Did you know that? And I'm wondering, this is all for the environment, supposedly, right? Climate trouble, and we want to make sure people have conveniences. So we have to herd you together like cattle into urban ghettos, open-air ghettos where you can only travel 15 minutes. Sounds like a good deal, doesn't it? Well, the reality is this. They're telling you they're going to do it for safety. By the way, do you know what they're saying on Maui? And they're also saying this in Eugene, Washington, Oregon. In Eugene, Oregon, and also in Maui, you know what they're using to sell these smart programs, smart city programs on? We got to get rid of the cars. They, on the Eugene website, they actually have pictures of people that have died in car accidents. And I almost wanted to puke. It's so exploitive. And it said, we don't want any more of these deaths. We've got to get cars. Well, wait a minute, jackass. Do you have public transportation? Well, you may still have wrecks, and the buses may run over the bikes or the pedestrians. But don't confuse them with the facts. And in Maui, they're saying the same thing. They gave the stats. Would they say 18 people died on Maui last year in car accidents? And they're actually got to give it a name, and it has zero in it. I forget actually the actual term, but it's zero something, meaning no more deaths by cars. But that's justification to totally get you out of your car. There will be no Uber. No one's going to be delivering your food to you. So what if you're handicapped and elderly? What are you going to do? Now, those of you that have businesses, physical walk-in businesses, right, you have to conform to federal code and state code, correct? You have to be handicap friendly. If you live on an incline, you've got to have a ramp, and you've got to have the rails, correct? Okay, if you're a gym, you have to actually have the safety rails for the elderly people that work out there. We see this in every facet of our society, handicap parking. There's not one provision I can find in smart cities where we find these things taken into consideration. Do they not care if these people survive? Is that the goal? And if you look at, when does this government ever support the family and having kids? Never. When do they support lifestyles that don't end in procreation? All the time. Does that tell you something? The birth rate in this country is critical. If you go below 1.8, it takes 2.1 to maintain your population, but if you go below 1.8, no nation's ever come back from that. Right now, we're at about 1.6. Italy's at 1.2. We're past the point of no return. And people say, well, we got the immigrants. How long does it take to acculturate an immigrant class, particularly one that's not very well educated? A long time. We're talking a generation. We are in big, big trouble in so many different ways. One of the things I've concluded is this. We're modeling after the CCP, but we have far superior technology. And I've come to the conclusion we're becoming the CCP. I had a lady named Tina. I knew her. She's an entrepreneur, businesswoman, owned her own business. And she came here from Iraq. And I remember one night we had a deep philosophical discussion about stuff. And she said, you know, Dave, it's really disturbing to me that I came here to get away from certain things in Iraq, and now those things are appearing here. And I met this other guy, pretty good English. Actually was a teacher. And I forget what they call their lowest grades, like K through 8. And he told me I came here from Venezuela because it was so terrible. And he goes, I see the same things going on here that I see in Venezuela. And I said, well, not to worry. By the way, they say there'll be less crime in a smart city as they crowd everybody together in what I call stack and pack. But can I ask you a question? Did you ever take psychology when you were in college as an undergrad? Did the professor ever teach you what happens when you crowd rats together or humans together? What happens to the crime rate? It goes to the roof, doesn't it? Absolutely. So they say they're going to lower crime by 30-40%. What I'm telling you is what I know about human behavior, what I taught for decades, that's just not true. They're pulling up numbers out of thin air. They're just making this crap up. I have some other notes here that I thought that you would be interested in. There will be no alternative media. They talk about the centralization of news. They want news people can rely on, and it's the same everywhere, so we can minimize conflict between various groups. One of the studies I've read, though, two of the studies I read, actually, talked about law enforcement and AI. If they use AI to say this is where we need to focus our efforts, they found that they started targeting groups. AI started targeting groups. For example, if you had someone with more race was committing maybe 5% more crimes than the other races, this would get more severe police attention. That's AI. And that's a concern for people that have programmed AI. So that's really a concern. But what they want to do with the internet is they want to control your buying habits. They want to promote trends that you'll pursue. They want you to believe the state message. They want you to think this is the way it's supposed to be and you have no choice. And I'll tell you, here's the proof for this too. I talked about this a year and a half ago and it's come back. And they're attaching it to the defense bill, which means it's probably going to pass. It's called the Journalism Competition and Protection Act. And basically it'll put people like me out of business and will allow for the formation of huge